This is episode 38 of the Coffee Break Podcast. Our guest today is Alex Smirznak from 2U Laundry. This conversation is really exciting because this is a company that started from scratch here recently in our Charlotte market and has grown, and they just recently, as he'll talk about in this conversation, garnered some funding for expansion into other cities. Very informative conversation about the entire entrepreneurial life cycle of understanding a need and solving a customer's problem. So grab a cup of coffee and join us for the conversation.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Alex, thank you very much for taking time. I know you have a very, very busy schedule. You've been all over the place, but thank you very much for taking time out to come join us today.
Thank you for having me. I think this setup is amazing, too. I'm excited to dig in and start chatting.
Hey, we're having fun here. We're all things coffee, but we are trying to do our best to create actual relevant content for business owners like yourself. And hopefully we're going to get some really neat insights today. One of the things that we do on every podcast episode is we have a segment called Rapid Fire, five randomly selected questions just to kind of get to know you better. First answer that comes out of your mouth and an unknown scoring system. So
okay.
Are you ready?
I think.
All right. First question, what food could you not live without?
Steak.
Why? Just...
It's just so good. I could eat it with potatoes for breakfast with eggs.
Yeah.
You name it.
What's your favorite steak?
Ribeye.
Ribeye.
Big, fat, juicy, just salt and pepper.
Favorite steakhouse? Favorite place to eat?
So I think in Charlotte, it's Sullivan's. I think that's recency bias because I was there for restaurant week or something. It was unbelievable.
That's a good choice.
Unbelievable.
You can't go wrong with that. All right. Question number two. If all of your clothes had to be one color forever, what color would you pick?
I think like a purplish, a light purple. I'm from Minnesota, so I'm a Vikings fan.
Okay.
And I've been told recently by my girlfriend that she's like, you look really good in purple. So I think, again, it's like, all right, if I look good in it, it's my team's colors. Why not?
It all works. Perfect.
Or number black. Three.
Black. I mean, black's it's easy. Number three, if you had one extra hour in your day that you could do anything with, what would you choose?
Work. Work to me has become so fun, honestly. It's weird even saying that out loud because most people are like, what do you mean work's fun?
Yeah.
But being an entrepreneur, I think I've just really found what I enjoy doing, what my passion is. And so on the weekends, I'm in there Saturday and Sunday, and people think I'm crazy, but I genuinely enjoy doing what I'm doing. So I've always joked my co-founder, if I had an extra hour, an extra 2 hours in the day, so I could get all this stuff done and do more.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if some people would say sadly, but it would sadly be work.
But if you're enjoying it.
I love it.
And you're passionate about it. All right, number four, what is a weird fact that you happen to know?
I guess where Red Wing shoes are made.
Which is where?
My hometown of Red Wing, Minnesota.
There you go. Pretty easy there. All right. And then last question here. If you were an Olympic athlete, what sport would you compete in?
I think basketball. I played that in high school growing up. Loved the sport. Played hockey for a while being from Minnesota and then got tall and gangly and that on skates doesn't work too well. So
I can see that. Yeah. cool. Well, you passed the rapid fire questions. You came in with a score of 630. So congratulations. Appreciate you playing there. we were just talking about this, before we got started. I was just up in Minnesota recently visiting a buddy of mine in, Minneapolis. Is that what I said?
Yep.
Okay. That's where it's Minneapolis. Sorry. I get all this confused. Understand, you grew up there. You were talking about that earlier. That's where you were kind of originated from Red Wing. And what brought you down into North Carolina?
So I wanted to get the hell out of the 6 months of frozen tundra that is the Midwest. And I applied to all schools in the Southeast. So Duke, Chapel Hill, Wake, et cetera. And so Wake I got into pretty early on, got waitlisted at Duke, and I was going to let the schools decide what I did with my life. So if I got into Duke, I was going to go pre-med because they have a really good medical program. And then Wake had a really good undergraduate business program. So I got into Wake, said, hey, I'm going to go do finance because every company needs finance and it's the language of business. I'll figure out what I want to do later in life, but that'll at least give me a good job and go from there.
I can definitely understand wanting to get out of the cold. My buddy Tony that lives up there sends me Snapchats or pictures all the time in those 6 months of winter of negative temperatures all the time. I'm just like, that is horrible. Why in the world? But it is what it is.
You see those videos of people throwing up pots of boiling water and it freezes before it hits the ground.
Yes. Which is insane.
No.
So, okay. So you came down to North Carolina because you ended up at Wake Forest?
Yep.
And which is from, we're in Charlotte right now. So that's what? About
an hour and 20 minutes north in Winston-Salem.
Okay. So in college, this is something interesting. And if you Google your name, which I'm sure you have, Wake Forest is very proud of you. There's a couple of videos that they have online and a lot of articles relating to the fact that you're an entrepreneur and that you went to Wake. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what happened in college, because it really helped, as I understand your story, kind of crafted where you are right now through a couple of different steps. So what did you get into in college?
Yep. So my I guess it starts back with almost my dad's childhood in a weird way. So he grew up in Pittsburgh. His dad was in the steel, you know, business as you know, a laborer.
Yep.
So he grew up in kind of a rough household in outside of Pittsburgh. And had this very much front load the job mentality. So me and my two older brothers, since the ages of 11, 12, were working all sorts of odd jobs.
Sure.
Always had two or three jobs at the same time. And so when I went to college, you better believe that wasn't going to change. And so I worked for this student run laundry and dry cleaning delivery business on campus called Wake Wash.
Gotcha.
And Wake Wash started as a door to door laundry and dry cleaning delivery business that was a class project for these students. The professor gave groups of four students $40 and said, hey, go start a business.
Wow.
And at the end of the semester, we'll report back on how much revenue you had, how many customers, et cetera. But they had different phases throughout the whole process. It was discovery, go to market, mm-hmm. Reporting, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of the semester, the three groups presented. The first was a food business on the quad. It was like hot dogs and froyo or something. Sure. And they had $200 in revenue. They had 2 weeks to do this, by the way. The second group was doing t-shirt printing for sororities and fraternities. They did $500 in 2 weeks. All right.
Good job. Yeah.
And then this group that did laundry and dry cleaning, they had access to free washers and dryers on campus because they were baked into the the rent. So they got clever. Yeah. Like, hey, we have all this free cost basis. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, they generated $5,000 in revenue.
Wow.
And the professor was like, you guys should keep doing this. Like, this is, you could probably grow it. You could probably continue to do this. So they did it. I worked for them. But I ended up buying the business my sophomore year. I just fell in love with it. I thought it could scale to Duke, Chapel Hill, Vanderbilt, sure. You name it. And I just hounded them. What are you guys going to do when you graduate? And they said, we're going to sell it. We don't want to keep this. We want to go do investment banking or whatever it is. Sure. I was like, what do you think you'll sell it for? And they said a little over $30,000. And I don't have $30,000.
Yeah.
I think I had $3,000 or $4,000 saved up. And so I was like, all right, let me go figure this out. I convinced two others to clear their savings account with me. Cleared my $4,000 that I had. We took out a loan unbeknownst to our parents at the time for the other $15,000 and bought it for a little over $30,000 our sophomore year and just had a blast running it. We ended up 10xing the business, sold it for 10 times what we bought it for.
Wow.
Learned a ton along the way and then ultimately sold it before going on to get our big boy and big girl jobs.
Gotcha. And that's, as I understand it, that's what kind of brought you down into Charlotte.
Yep. So we sold the business. I actually wanted to keep going with it, but my partners, we had a really good offer. I didn't want to be the guy that held them back from an exit. So I was like, hey, look, sure. We had a good run, learned a lot, done with the laundry business. Moved down to Charlotte to do consulting at Ernst & Young. So I worked in Uptown, wore my suit every day.
Sure.
Hated it. I loved certain aspects of it. The people were incredible, honestly. Like some of the best, brightest people I've ever met and worked with. It was just the work felt just kind of mundane. And
sure.
I remember there were certain projects that I'd work on for 80, 90 hours at a time. And then I'd find out from my senior manager, oh yeah, the client told me like 4 or 5 days ago, we're going in a different direction. We're not working on it. I'm like, you didn't tell me. And I just like wasted all that time. Like, oh, it's fine. We build the client. I'm like, I know you don't care from a business perspective. I feel like.
Crash all my work.
Yeah. So it just like wasn't as rewarding as it was running that small laundry and dry cleaning business on campus. So I just kept thinking about it and having that itch to go back.
So that brings you into where you kind of converted over and I guess, what did you leave that job and started this? What was the entrepreneurship? You went through it in school. I guess there was a little bit of and maybe this is off-putting, but a safety net. You were in school, so it was kind of there. Well, now you're at a whole different transition. from an entrepreneur standpoint, that jump, did you work in the job and do the transition, or was it just a hard leap over to starting 2U Laundry?
A little bit of both. So I had tried with another individual at EY to do this at another university. We got told no one time, and they were like, oh, I'm out. Like one wow. no and you're out. This is going to be like 100 no's before sure. one says yes. So I kind of dabbled in it. And then one of my lifelong friends who I grew up with in Red Wing actually was working at startups in Minneapolis, Lead Pages and Sports Engine. And Sports Engine got acquired by NBC Sports. He had a sales and marketing background. I was more of a finance ops background.
Sure.
And I just kept telling him, like, hey, like, I think there's a big opportunity here. I saw two competitors on the West Coast raise $30 million to go after the $40 billion laundry and dry cleaning industry with what I felt were the wrong models.
Yeah.
I just kept telling them, hey, there's something here. I don't want to hit 30, 40 years old and regret not going after this with everything that I've got. Neither one of us have kids right now. Neither one of us have any major, major responsibilities.
Yeah.
I think we should do this. We got to do it.
Worst case, it just blows up and fails. But
we go back to the jobs that we just had.
Sure.
And so he came down with six other friends of ours in, it was actually Labor Day weekend 4 years ago.
Wow.
And we just had a blast. We're going to the Epicenter, we're going to the Whitewater Center, having all this fun. And he's like, I really like Charlotte. And we had been tinkering with the idea at that point.
Yep.
And 2 weeks later, he quit his job, broke up with his girlfriend at the time. They're now engaged, so all is well in the world. But broke up with her at the time, grabbed another one of our friends and just drove 20 hours straight from Minneapolis to Charlotte, moved into my place. It's a three bedroom. So there's five guys living in a three bedroom. So do the math. We had mattresses on the ground.
Sure.
We worked together, slept in the same room next to each other, did everything together.
Just went all in.
And we went all in. So he quit first. We were building the website, trying to get feedback from the market. We're posting on Nextdoor and these meetup groups and stuff.
Gotcha.
And we just started getting customers accidentally. And that's when I was like, hey, let's all quit my job. We've got customers. We had one customer, but we got a customer now.
We have a customer. Everything's good.
I'm going for it. I think we knew, though, from doing this in college, that there, people will want this. It's a question of how many and can we do this efficiently enough that this is profitable and we can scale it.
I think now is a good time in this conversation to explain what 2U Laundry is for people that have no idea. A short summary, what is it? What do you do?
So the easiest way to describe it is just a laundry and dry cleaning delivery service, pickup and delivery service. So I hate saying this, but think Uber for laundry and dry cleaning. You can pull up an app or send a text or get on the website and schedule a pickup. And on your scheduled day, a 2U delivery driver will come right to your front door, your office, wherever your designated pickup location is, pick up your dirty clothes that you'd put in the washer and dryer, your dry cleaning that you'd bring to the dry cleaner, things that you'd wash and hang dry. They'd pick all that up. We get it professionally cleaned and then return within 24 hours right back to your front door.
Like clockwork.
Like right? clockwork.
And the interesting thing is, and I feel like this is the commercial from many years ago. I am not only I guess it would be I'm just a client. So let's break it off. I'm not only the host of this show, but I'm also a client of yours. And that's kind of how we got clued into this. Watching this from a social media standpoint, I see this thing. My wife is like, hey, this is a big time saver for our family to have this service happen. And my initial hesitation was, is it really going to work? I mean, we're putting clothes out in the front door and then we're expecting them to come back. And it has been, I don't want to oversell it, but it has been a huge major efficiency thing for our family, because this shirt right here that I'm wearing was taken care of by 2U Laundry, sent off, come back. I take it off the hanger and I put it on and I go. Which is a huge, from a working professional standpoint, the ability to have that ready to rock and roll is major. The efficiency of it, the technology behind it that keeps it consistent, the communication takes all the brain work out of the traditional laundry service. So all of that to lead up to this question, laundry service, dry cleaning service, that's you mentioned what is a $40 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old school, industry. How do you take that and then improve upon it? Like, it seems like a big industry, $40 billion is nothing to shake your fist at, but how do you assess that and go, this is something we can make better? Like, that just, it just seems like a far stretch,
mm-hmm.
but you guys figured out a way to figure out how to make it better. what was the, I know you talk a lot about, and I've seen some of the videos, market research and understanding all that. How did you arrive at that point to recognize that this is a real thing?
I think like many entrepreneurs, part of it was on accident. And so when we first started, I tried to do other universities. I wanted to go back to, you know, Duke, Chapel Hill, wherever it may be. And then we just had enough, you know, roadblocks with the bureaucracy of academia and schools and whatnot. So we thought, let's just try this in Charlotte. Maybe young millennials, busy professionals will use this. And so we launched, and within 2 months, we realized it's not busy professionals, millennials. That's part of it. But the overwhelming majority is the dual income family with kids. And that's when we realized, because Dan and I at the time were 24, don't have kids, didn't realize that some of these families are spending 40 hours a month washing, drying, folding clothes. And we just couldn't believe it.
No.
And we heard horror story after horror story, you know, from a lot of these working families, predominantly moms, you know, signing up and using the service. And I remember, I'll never forget, one customer called, and this was the moment for me when we realized, hey, this is bigger than I thought it was. A mom called in and said, so you'll come to my house, you'll pick up two or three bags of clothes, they'll just disappear, and they'll come back the next day, ready for my kids to put in their drawers, ready for my husband to wear, ready for me to wear. I'm like, yes. And she started crying. And I was like, what? And she's like, this has been the bane of my, and she just starts building herself up. This has been the bane of my existence. I come home, I work 9-10 hours a day, then we have to have dinner as a family, then I got to get the laundry in, then I got to stay up. And I'm like, really? Like laundry?
Yeah.
And you realize that it is this never ending battle that these families are doing. And sometimes you just want a break.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we're selling back to people is time. It's not a bag of clean clothes.
Well, and I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she likes to change clothes 14 times a day. So I can definitely understand that whole philosophy, but it is something you look at the industry, the old methodology of the industry, right? And it's, you got to go find a place when it's open, work on their schedule, do those things. And to look at something like that works, but there's some inconveniences with it. And it's almost like what your company did was address every inconvenience, mm-hmm. every frustration with that process and go, well, we can make it better and we can simplify it. So you don't have to think about it. It's something that literally you don't have to think about. And you take kind of that, you know, the skepticism, right? Hold on a second. Somebody's going to come pick up my clothes and they're actually going to come back. And it's one time in, and then you go, okay, this is a game changer. This can, and in some instances, be a life changer. That's crazy that you'd have a customer call just kind of break down like, this is the most amazing thing ever. But it can be, like, you know, because you're solving a customer's problem. Some of the stuff that I've seen you, and you even mentioned it already in this conversation, market research. As an entrepreneur, as you're learning that process, market research is huge. Here, my question on that is, what if you're already in an industry, you're already in a business, and you don't really have the ability to market research to see if this is a viable concept? So the example that you gave earlier in college, you know, the professor gives this money out and says, go see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got the ability to kind of think through this process. What if you're already in a business, maybe it's a family-owned business or whatever, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I take this thing that's kind of been stagnant for this amount of years, similar to the laundry industry, and put something, reinvigorate something new into it? How would you coach somebody on doing some market research when you're already in the business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something that we've said, now that we're 3 years into this, is just constantly try to disrupt ourselves. Like, what is the next best thing? How do we constantly make this better? Because if you think about it, no industry today is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always changing. The world's ever changing. And so I think one thing that we learned early on was that none of us are in the driver's seat. We're in the passenger seat, and the customers are driving everywhere, and you have to listen to them. And so even today, Dan and I will call customers, you know, a few times a week to understand what is it that resonates with them, what is it that they're looking for, what is it that they want, and then we'll survey all of them. You've probably gotten emails before, hey, if you fill out the survey, you get a $5 gift card or whatever it may be. Constantly trying to get better. And some of the things that you hear would blow your mind. We've got customers that, hey, can you come in and put our clothes away for us? Hey, can you offer a clothing resale service? We surveyed customers and said, hey, if we offered a loyalty program, what would be the feature that you'd want, or the service that you'd want added as a perk of being in that loyalty group? And you think it would be custom detergent preferences. You think it would be specific delivery windows, something to do with the service. Guess at what the most, and this was across the board. I couldn't believe how many people asked this thing because it was so kind of random.
Yeah.
But then guess what the number one most requested thing was?
I have no idea.
Complimentary clothing donation pickups. It has nothing to do with the washing and drying of your clothes. It was more of a, hey, it's an adjacent thing that has to do with clothing. And that's where our head started turning. Hey, these families have all these clothes they don't want to, you know, they want to get rid of, but they don't want to go to Salvation Army or Goodwill or wherever it may be. So just leave out the bag of stuff you don't want, whether it's a value or not. We'll clean it. Whatever is not of value or resale value, we'll donate. Whatever is of resale value, we'll start to sell for you. And now there's this whole other consignment business that we could start to bolt onto what started out as a laundry and dry cleaning delivery service.
That's interesting. The takeaway from that I'm hearing, so we take the laundry service out of it, is asking the customer what is a value add for you, and then figuring out a way to answer that question, not just, because that, again, like, I guess what you're saying is you'd have never thought about that.
That's, no idea.
It's like so out there, but it makes sense. Like that would be something people would find value in. You're already handling it, so here's the stuff I don't need anymore. Make sure it gets to the right place.
Exactly. And I think there's one caveat with that too, because it is easy and it's dangerous to a business if early on everything that a customer requests, you bend over backwards to do it. It will, you know, death by a thousand cuts. Sure. And so what we've done is, all right, listen, you know, actively listen all the time. But then as you start to collect multiple data points on, hey, this was the 15th customer that said the same thing. Mm-hmm. This was the, you know, 500 people wanted clothing donations. We should probably do that.
Yeah.
But just being an active listener to them, because it amazes me how many owners do get, hey, we've been around for 30 years. This is the way it's done. It's not going to change. It's always changing.
So getting practical here, because this is what these conversations are all about. That is literally you calling and just talking to your customers and asking those questions. You're getting surveys. You're offering compensation for surveys or whatever. It's just actively, how frequently is that process happening for you guys?
So we'll do a big one every 2 to 3 months. We'll survey, you know, a couple thousand customers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, weekly, Dan and I will kind of alternate just calling customers. Hey, how have things been going? I'll jump in a delivery. It's kind of like the show Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
We'll go on ride-alongs. We'll go to the facility and just really get back to the roots of the business, because that's where it's all happening.
Yeah.
And just never losing touch of that, even as big as you may get, as complicated as things may get, can't lose that.
What are you up to on employees now?
So we have 30 full-time and then 80 part-time.
That's wild. And so you're getting there and getting involved and actually seeing and contacting this customer. All right, let me ask you this question, shifting gears a little bit. The business that you're in, how much right now, your specific business, how much of it is technology driven?
I'd say, so we call ourselves a tech-enabled service. So I think without technology, we absolutely couldn't do what we do. And this is why you see this huge trend of these kind of last mile or tech-enabled convenience-oriented services, grocery delivery, Uber, dog walking, you name it. The internet and where technology is today has allowed us to be able to go out and reinvent and kind of reinvigorate some of these stodgier, old, established businesses. So I'd say 60-70% of our business is technology.
And that's what's obviously enabling you to grow, because the laundry service and dry cleaning service has been around for so long. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got my shop here on the corner. You come drop your stuff off. We'll do it and have it ready for you whenever you're ready to pick it up type thing. It's all your scheduling, your pickups, your reminders, your alerts, your preferences, everything is that. Really, it's almost that you're driving it with technology, and the side benefit is the laundry service is the way that I would see it.
Yep.
Question on that is, how are you communicating to your customers that information? I'm going to try to ask it in a different way. How are you connecting with customers the relevancy and the convenience of the technology and then associating it to it, what it is that you do? Are you trying to capture people through the laundry service, or are you trying to capture people through the convenience factor? Maybe that's an easier way to ask that question.
It's a little bit of both. And I think each use case is different. You know, some people come in purely on convenience. Others come in, you know, because it's this huge time suck and they want to get the laundry outsourced, or they don't have any other alternative.
Yeah.
So it's been a mix of both. But I think that where the technology comes in is similar to what Uber's done with the taxi industries. Yeah. There was nothing new about that. It was just inconvenient. Payments were opaque and it wasn't convenient to do. You'd wait for 20 minutes. They were unreliable. So Uber basically just democratized the taxi industry. And we're trying to do the same thing to laundry and dry cleaning, take that friction out, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
We've looked at the process a million times over, the 40 plus steps that there are, and how do we make every single point in the process easier and easier and easier for users and consumers, so that it's as simple as I set this out, it comes back and I'm done. We're even going through the process now of inventing a new laundry bag, mm-hmm. so that when you come home, it's not the bag that you empty out and then throw under the bed or throw in the closet. It is a hamper mm-hmm. that as soon as you empty it, you're loading it back up. So that when you go to make the decision as a consumer, do I do this at home? Or, hey, it's already in the 2U bag. Why don't I just set it outside? You've already done the work and it's as frictionless as possible.
First world problems. It's interesting, though. We could talk about that in more in depth. So technology is a driver behind a lot of what you're doing to make it more convenient in the way that you're communicating. And then your social marketing strategy, the way that you're communicating these stories of the convenience factor, how are you, I guess, getting that message to your ideal consumer? Because you said, you originally in this conversation, you said, we thought that it would go to the busy millennials, and that has been broken down. So mm-hmm. how are you now backing up and going, well, who is our ideal consumer, and how are we getting that story to them?
Yep. So when we kind of accidentally stumbled upon it, we had one family call, and then two, then three, and then there was one mom again, who another separate mom that called in and said, hey, could you give me a promo code? I know like 70 other families that would use this. We created her a promo code. I don't even think we had the capability of doing this at the time, but we're like, if anyone comes in and mentions this, we'll give them credit or something. And she posted on Mickit and mom Facebook groups and Nextdoor, and it just took off.
Yeah.
And these families, and then one after the other, after the
other.
Yeah, it just blew our minds. And so then we realized, hey, referral and ambassador marketing is going to be big for this business because these groups talk and they're at church together, they're at work together, they're at the carpool text for their kids from sports, et cetera, et cetera. So we started really heavily trying to instill this kind of organic word of mouth referral traffic. And so today, 50% of our signups are referral word of mouth.
Wow.
30% is digital. So this is another channel that we use to, and even then we use ambassadors to, you've seen probably some of these videos where it's an actual testimonial on Facebook, Yelp, Pinterest is good for us, Instagram, LinkedIn, et cetera. And the other 20% is targeted at businesses and multifamily apartments. So B2B2C channels where if you live at Ascent Uptown, the property manager will send you an email once every other month. Or when you move in, there's 2U collateral. And same thing at employers. If you're at LPL Financial or Red Ventures and you are a new employee, you get a promo.
Finding ways to kind of go in that third tier customer base because you've already made a connection.
Yep.
Very interesting. So you've got your market research. You talked about that. Social marketing and ways that you're doing that. Technology back end is huge for the way that you're navigating all of this information. Question for you. Did you think that you would be at this point in your life right now?
No. I would have never thought that. I knew I wanted to go do this, but I didn't think it would have happened as quickly as it did, or we would have gotten as big as we did. Just raising this round now, not that raising capital is a token of success, but it's incredibly validating that people trust us enough and believe in us enough that they're like, hey, this is a big opportunity. I want to invest my own hard-earned money into this. And then same thing with people coming to work for us. It's just every day I walk in, I'm pumped to work with the people that we have on our team, going after the opportunity that we're going after. And that's just what's been so humbling and rewarding is that you start from nothing, set your mind to, hey, I want to will this to happen. I believe that this can happen. And with enough sacrifice and just grinding away, you can eventually get there.
So you've said a couple of things that have been very interesting. You're constantly reinventing the process. You're kind of constantly questioning and making sure, is this the best way to do this? Mm-hmm. Kind of reworking that. Checking in with your customers regularly. What are things that we need to do better? What are things that we need to add? What are important to you? What are value adds? And then understanding kind of how to connect different levels of customers. So, hey, we realize that working professionals are one of our ideal customers. So how do we get in contact with these specific companies that we can then get referrals to kind of new folks in the area or new employees? What has been the biggest challenge that you've had in this whole process of starting up? What's kind of a lesson that you've learned through this whole process?
I think the biggest thing it has to do with, and everything has to do with people. You know, being young, and we've started hiring people our same age, older than us, many years older than us. And that was tricky for Dan and I both at first, was we'd never been in a position where we were managing that many people or that caliber of individual. And at this early of a stage, every single person you hire will make a huge, a sea change level of a difference. I mean, it's, those roles are so critical. And so making sure that you hire the right people, you manage them right, you do right by them, you align them and motivate them correctly, and you have a vision that they can get behind and believe in is incredibly important. And I've learned that hard way, the less hard way, the on the fly way, every way you can imagine. I'm still trying to figure it out. And I think that that's common across all businesses. People are the hardest, but most important thing.
So finding good people and then getting them to catch on to the vision of what, you know, you it's, and it's interesting because, again, taking that spin on things is you're actually having the ability to make a difference in people's lives on a daily basis, mm-hmm. in something that I guess most people would just not even think about. It's just, you know, whatever, it's laundry, let's just get it done. Mm-hmm. But it's actually having the ability to make a difference in people's lives, and being able to cast that vision, to share that vision, and then keep people on board with it is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Even there's stories that come in probably once a week of a customer last week, one of their kids has an illness, and their hands have been full with that. And just they send you these really long, thoughtful messages about how you have no idea how this little bit that might have felt like a small thing on your guys' end made me and my family's whole week, and the time that we could spend together when our son's going through what he's going through. And they take the time to share that with you. It reminds you why you're doing what you're doing, and that it's not just about the laundry, it's about the time that you're creating for those families or for those individuals to spend with each other, to go after their own passion and hobby, to whatever it may be, they have that time back to do.
So what's the next big thing? What's going on with the business, and where are you headed next?
Yep, so we just closed on a round of fundraising. We're using that capital to expand across the South and the Southeast. So we're looking at 4 to 5 additional markets, secondary and tertiary markets. So looking at cities like Raleigh, Nashville, Dallas, Texas, Austin, Tampa Bay, et cetera. And so we're narrowing in on which is that exact next city, and we'll launch that in January of next year.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And for more information on your company, what's the best way to find out what's going on there?
Yep. So the website where you can sign up, or the app that you can download is www.2ulaundry.com. And that's the number 2, the letter U, laundry.com. A lot of people confuse U2 Laundry, but we own all the domains. So even if you have a finger slip, you'll end up at the right website.
Very smart.
But yeah, if you sign up there, you can use my promo code ALEX20. It'll get you $20 off your first order. And it takes less than 5 minutes to sign up. You can have specific detergents you want, softener, hang dry for delicates, starch for dry cleaning, you name it, we can do it. And would love to have people check it out and try it.
I can say, like I said, we're a customer. No, I've never signed up. My wife did all of the all of the heavy lifting on that end, because basically for the same thing, as I would get in these situations, busy schedule. Hey, can you help me? I just need to get. I'm very quirky, and I probably shouldn't talk about this on this. Or I'm gonna get busted up on it. But I'm very quirky about my shirts being pressed. Like I don't walk out of the house without a pressed shirt on. And it was one of those things where it's like I would spend an entire Saturday ironing all my shirts for the week. It is a very, very beneficial thing. It happens, and it happens very reliably. But that was one of my big hangups with dealing with the traditional cleaning service or dry cleaners, because one, I had to figure out how to get on their schedule and then pick up on their schedule because I come and go at very random times. So having the convenience of knowing when it's coming and being picked up and that it's always going to be delivered in a timely manner is huge. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we found a lot of value in. So I'd definitely encourage anybody to check it out, because it's a very useful service and very economically friendly. How about that?
Yeah, no, we looked at pricing and dry cleaning. It's the same as what you'd pay going to a brick and mortar. Some items might be 5% higher, but the pickup and delivery is free. It's 1 day turnaround instead of 3.
Yeah,
you don't have to make 2 trips back and forth. And then on the laundry side, we broke it down. This family of 4 spends 40-ish hours a month, or sorry, 30 plus hours a month on wash, dry, folding, putting away, etc. and $70 to $80 a month on detergent, utilities, wear and tear on their machines, et cetera. And it ended up becoming this question of, is your time worth more than $4 an hour? And I think most people are like, yeah, absolutely. Especially if there's two incomes in the household, get rid of it.
Yeah. It's a very interesting concept. Alex, thank you very much for coming to chat with us today. It's been very, very informative. Glad that you answered our message and decided to show up here today. So
absolutely. Love what you guys are doing, and thanks for having me.
Cool. If this is your first time watching, listening, or whatever, we ask you to subscribe. Make sure that you subscribe on any whatever podcast app you like to use. If you're on iTunes, give us a rating, hopefully 5 stars, so that other people can be aware of this as well. LockDoc.net/podcast. You can find all the episodes there on video and audio form, whatever your preference is. And we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Coffee Break Podcast.
To learn more about the topics discussed today and to connect with us online to hear all of the episodes available, visit LockDoc.net/podcast.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
The Coffee Break Podcast is brought to you by LockDoc Security. We'd love to connect with you online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Just search LockDocInc.